everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Brief Talk podcast. We have a brief tale from someone I'm very excited to have on the show. We've talked many times and we'll be doing another show very soon, but more on that later. It is Yes Coach. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you, and your accent is going to be so enamored by the American boys, I'm just telling you now.
I do find that a lot whenever I travel to the US, as people, gay men specifically, just ask me to repeat words.
Yes, and it's a deep, sexy voice, so I'm sure I will get lots of compliments and comments about your voice. I'm just letting you know now. So
that's very sweet. Thank you for having me on today.
So it's good to have you. We've talked quite a bit over the last month or so because we're working on another show, which I told people about. So he's going to be part of our Thong show coming up with US and Down Under Thongers. You from New Zealand, and Aussie Thonbro from Sydney in Australia. So that'll be super exciting. We're just working out time zones and all those fun things.
Yeah.
So, which isn't easy when you get multiple people in multiple time zones across multiple countries.
Very true.
But we made it work for this one. So first question is, tell our listeners a little bit about you. You just kind of came onto the scene just recently, sharing your love of swimwear, thongs, and singlets and spandex. So tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I, like I said, just in a little pre-show chat, I was a journalist for about 15 years. So all throughout the 2010s, I was doing a column in the New Zealand Herald, which was our main newspaper, and it was on sex and relationships and that sort of thing. And what I did there, obviously, I was speaking, or rather writing, to a mainstream heterosexual audience.
Okay.
And so what I was doing there was really imparting a lot of the amazing things about the queer world that I find that were, that would somehow enlighten, you know, heteros about the way that we live our lives and encourage them to, you know, do things a little bit differently. So, you know, I wrote about things like non-monogamy and sex parties and, you know, the kind of things that in the gay world are regular kind of conversations, but for a hetero audience, they were brand new. So I kind of, I took the public, I think, on a bit of a journey towards kind of liberalizing their views around sex. I mean, in, you know, where I am here in New Zealand, we are still quite a conservative country in that realm. Like, we are very progressive in a lot of different ways, but when it comes to sex and relationships, we are very white picket fence in the way that, in the way that we look at sex and sexuality. Okay. And so that was sort of my, that was where I started, you know, kind of working in the world of sex and sexuality. And with what I'm doing now, so I was, I'm a corporate advisor. So my day job is basically, I work in corporate PR, right? I work with CEOs and I help them through their problems with a public relations lens. And at the end of last year, my firm went for a restructure. There was a bunch of redundancies, and I decided to take a redundancy pay and go out on my own. So while I was doing that, I was like, you know what? I'm going to start utilizing the thing that I find most fun about my my online persona, which I hadn't really taken very seriously, which was all around sportswear and singlets and jock straps and swimwear and that kind of stuff. I was like, I want to take these two things and use the advice experience that I had as a journalist and kind of make one brand out of this, which is where Yes Coach came from.
Okay. That's a good thing to do, is take your love of advice and gear and throw it into one.
Yeah, exactly.
That's very smart. Love that. So how did you discover your love of swimwear, singlets? What was it that really got you to be like, oh, this, I love this?
So I am from a family of professional athletes. Both of my brothers were professional rugby players. Even my mom was she's a fitness coach for like high school teams. So I've had coaching and this kind of rhetoric around me for my entire life. And something that always interested me was wrestling. Now, wrestling doesn't exist as a sport in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. It's a very American sport. But sort of when I was, I came out 20 years ago now. When I was coming out, a lot of the kind of images that I was gravitating towards, when I was finding out what I was interested in, were those wrestling guys. And it was those wrestling singlets and the jock straps underneath. And that was what I, 18, 19-year-old me was finding really hot 20 years ago. What happened was with my coming out about 20 years ago, I discovered a brand called N2N Bodywear. Have you heard of them before?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, so 20 years ago, I discovered this LA-made brand, and they had a varsity Speedo, which they still make now, by the way. Yeah. It's a brightly colored Speedo with a couple of colors, very similar to the kind of Speedo that I wore when I was in high school. For swimming competitions, but obviously in a fetishized way.
Yes.
It was, the cut was a little bit different than what I wore when I was 15, but the style was there. So that's how I discovered this brand called N2N. And then over the years, I was buying a lot of their Speedos and then eventually got into their singlets because they do a big range of wrestling singlets.
Oh, yes.
And so having, obviously had this kind of fantasy about American wrestling for in my early years of coming into my sexuality, then all of a sudden I could order one of these things and put it on, and it felt really, really good. I'd never put on anything like that in my life. As I said, down here in New Zealand, we just don't, wrestling is just not a sport. It doesn't happen here. You couldn't pick up a wrestling singlet in any kind of store in this country. So that was... yeah, really the first time, I guess, that, again, 20 years ago when I started to buy them. And then, I don't know, as I got more and more confident in my body and going out and that sort of things, I started to wear them in public a little bit more. So I wear a singlet to the gym with shorts over the top. But then after, I don't know, maybe 5-10 times doing that, I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to wear the shorts over the top today. And... don't get wrong, it's very nerve-wracking wearing a wrestling singlet in a regular gym.
Yes.
And I'm sure a lot of people, there were a lot of stares, I'm sure, but no one said anything, and then people just left me alone. Yeah. So I was like, huh, okay, maybe this is something I can continue to do. Now, look, I don't work out in a wrestling singlet all the time, but I do feel really, really good in them. And then I guess, with undergarments as well, like jock straps always really interested me. But what I didn't like about wearing jocks with wrestling suits is the visible bands. I didn't like that. I was like, I want this to be smooth. So that's really where I just got to be wearing thongs underneath them, because I can have a little bit of protection in public. I felt like I wasn't quite so exposed, you know what I mean? But I also had a no underwear kind of look to it, which I really enjoyed.
Nice. No, I'm quite aware of N2N. We've had Andrew, the owner, on many times, and he makes so many singlets lately, which drive me crazy because I want every one of them. And he had one just recently that I loved, and it was sold out in my size, and I emailed him I sent him a text. Whose children do I have to sell to get one of these? And he just laughed. And I'm like, oh, that's not an answer I want. I want to know how I can get this singlet. So yes, I'm quite familiar. And the university line is amazing because you have the Speedo, you have the bike shorts, like the jammers, and then you have the singlets. And they're amazing. Oh my God.
Yeah. So I love those. And also, so N2N's, I think that there's a product line called Raider, which is a mesh, but it's a very open weave mesh. It's very revealing. I actually just got one of their singlets, like a just plain white in that Raider, and it's beautiful. It's a beautiful piece of clothing.
Oh, yes. The white is it's see-through, but since it's white, you don't really notice.
No.
It's a little bit, but if you have the black one, it's like, you can see from like across the room. You're like, I see everything.
Oh, yeah. I've got a Black Raider thong, which I have thought about because I will wear, for Halloween or, actually just Halloween. For Halloween, I have no problem using my, my costuming around a thong. I start with that and then I build up from there.
Thanks.
And I've often used, that as my starting point. And last year I went as Nightwing, who is a DC Comics superhero. He, for anyone that doesn't know, he's who Robin of Batman and Robin grew up to be, is that TV show Titan that you might have seen, which is following that. So I decided on Nightwing and I was looking at all of my kind of black and blue thongs in my collection and I pulled out a Raider and I put it on and I think I'd worn it once or twice. No one had ever seen it though. And I looked at myself in the mirror and I was like, okay, this cannot go out in public. Like, don't get me wrong. Like I said, I have very little shave and I'm very body positive. So I, don't mind on a night like Halloween to be seen, by children trick or treating in a thong. Yeah, that doesn't bother me at all. But I was just like, but they don't need to see my actual dick.
Yeah. That is end to end Raider. Yeah.
Yeah.
Quite familiar with them. I love them.
Oh yeah. God. Yeah. No, they're fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic products.
Yes. Very much so. So you wore Speedos in high school and you've worn them since. And now you just recently went out with Aussie Thong Bro and we're rocking the swim thongs when you visited.
That's right.
Him. So how did you go from brief to thong on swimwear?
It's interesting. I always had a fascination with thongs since I was a young teenager, maybe 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if y'all in America, you have Chippendales, right?
Yes.
That's that male dance review kind of troupe and they toured. And okay. So down under, we had a similar version. It was called Manpower. And I remember I never saw them live, but often they had like TV specials. Okay. And, we're talking back at, this is the late 90s here. And I remember like with the VCR, like recording the TV specials and I would watch them alone later on. And Manpower is an Australian, dance troupe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just these beautiful oiled up, long haired, the look that I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
These beautiful Tarzan like men, and they were always wearing these thongs, but they weren't, but the thongs were always, let's just call it thong plus, like they were always a little bit extra, right? Like they were either a wit looked kind of a fabric or just they weren't cotton. I always found those very sexy as a 14 year old kid. It was just, again, it took me 5 years to figure my sexuality out, but I knew early on that was something that I liked and enjoyed. And then to be honest, it really would have been buying those Speedos from Interwin and then looking at the other stuff that Interwin did and realizing that there were a lot of thongs there. And this is way before thongs. Like, thongs have been very popular in the mainstream gay world for 4 or 5 years now. But we're talking 10, 15 years ago, right? They were very much a niche product
then.
And I remember buying the first one and it was just like a plain black. It was like a faux rubber kind of fabric. And I put it on and I just really loved the way that it looked and the way that it made me feel. So I started wearing swim thongs like you would underwear thongs, as in when I would go out with my friends and no one would ever see them, they would just be for me. But there was something about the combination of thong cut and the lycra, kind of the speeder like fabric, the combination of the two just made me feel really good about myself. And I guess that's where I started.
Nice.
So yeah, all of us, we could just back into win for all of us, by the way.
Well, yeah, they're kind of like the gateway drug into normal.
100% was my
into more fetishy, because they have like the unlined ones, the super bulgy ones, and everything, especially singlets, spandex, tights, runners. That man makes the most amazing gear.
And so, funnily enough, so, sort of, you know, we're talking 10, 15 years ago now, Interwin was one of the only brands that would ship to New Zealand. So a lot of American brands wouldn't ship down under. And so you can thank international shipping and whatever deal they had with their courier companies, because otherwise it could have very easily found another, because, you know, this is someone that has historically been a problem, ordering things online, is the shipping costs.
Yes.
You know, there are some brands out there that I really like, but I don't buy from them because they're like $40 to ship down here.
Yes.
I'm like, the weight of the garments that I'm buying
is
very minimal. How is this $40 to send this down here? It's insane.
Yes, I know, because when I've looked at sending things to Australia, it's like you can either send it first class here, which is $20, $30, $20-25-ish, but it takes forever. And everyone's like, oh, where's my stuff? But if you send it FedEx or DHL or anyone else, it's like $40, $60, $80 to spend. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, it'll get there, but you got to pay for it. That's the only downside.
Exactly.
And vice versa, because when we order stuff from there, it's like, oh, hurry up, get here. What's the shipping? Because Aussie Bomb, I don't know how they have it set up to do what they do, but I'm like, it's like witchcraft, because they can get it. It's affordable and they get it here quick. So I'm like, what do you do?
Aussie Bomb is a very impressive operation. I remember when I lived in Sydney when was this? Late 2010, so sort of 2018-19, before the pandemic. And I would often order something from Aussie Bomb. Actually, they did a range of singlets then that I remember buying one of their singlets, which was...
I missed that. I'm so mad.
You mean that? No, they were fantastic. I bought one of those and it arrived the following day. And I'm like, I have never purchased any kind of swimwear, underwear, anything online and had it as quickly. I was like, is this what Americans get to enjoy all the time? Like that Amazon overnight kind of, that kind of, you know, culture, because we historically, I mean, things are a lot different now. Like the internet has significantly changed, you know, the way that we shop. And
so
there's a lot more demand. There's a lot more demand for things now. But back in the day, you know, if you order something online, it might take you 3 months to get it down here. Because it used to go by ship. As well, not by airplane.
Yes. Oh, the horror stories I have of shipping to Australia. Oh, and New Zealand. It's like, oh, Jesus.
No, I'm sure there's still some thongs that I've purchased that are somewhere in the abyss of the Pacific Ocean that just never arrived on one of those ships.
Probably. And it's just,
I hope someone's wearing them.
Hopefully they found them and, you know, maybe they were stuck in customs and some of the customs workers are enjoying them.
That's
now.
Exactly.
But now that's awesome, though, because... And why was it, you brought up a good point, why was it all of those strippers back in the day had the long hair? They all did. Chippendales did.
Yeah, it was a very 90s look of male prowess, I guess. You know, like I mentioned Tarzan before, but they were trying to, I guess, put out this image of being decisive masculinity and alpha male, which is funny considering the garments that they were wearing. But I think that's actually one of the things that really drew me to thongs in general, and, you know, and this kind of fabric, is because I loved the contrast between a hyper masculine body and I don't want to use the word feminine because I don't think thongs are feminine, but let's just say non-traditionally masculine garments, right?
Yes.
And I love the contrast of it. For the same reason now I really love seeing like a big, beautiful, muscle boy wearing, you know, like a pink thong.
Yes.
Because it's something about the contrast. Your brain's just like, this isn't what society has told me masculinity is, exactly. But I like this. And it is still, somehow you're wearing a pink piece of dental floss and it's somehow very masculine. I love the subversion of that.
Well, it goes down to the whole thing, which you're probably seeing down there too, is what is masculine, what is not masculine is now blurred. And the rules are changing. Some people are still trying to hold on to the old ways. And, you know, you've got to be macho in this. But others are like pink thong, lace thong, whatever. Wear what you want to. You can still be a man in it. And no one really, especially the gay side, we don't give a damn.
If you're hot, you're hot. It's really cool seeing, like, lace is not, you know, my personal thing, but I love seeing guys really enjoy themselves wearing, you know, like lacy panties and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, this is something that society has always told us is wrong and is taboo, and you are embracing it and making it yours and being proud of it. And I just think that's so cool. And also so inspiring for other people that are maybe, you know, looking on the internet, whether on Twitter or whatever, and are second guessing their fetishes or, you know, the kind of things that they like. And then they can see somebody, they're like, oh, well, this guy's wearing a pair of, you know, like red lacy panties. He also looks like a bodybuilder. I'm going to try this too. So I think, you know, being able to have your own desires mirrored can be an incredibly powerful thing just for coming into your own sexuality and being proud. You know, I genuinely don't think that the only thing I think is shameful is shame itself. Let's put it that way. I'm used this a lot in my day job, as a corporate advisor, whenever I'm trying to get through to someone about authenticity and being honest. It's like, really the only thing that you should ever be ashamed of is those internal feelings of guilt that you hold onto. Your kinks, the things that you enjoy, the things that go against the grain of society, those are nothing to be ashamed of. If you own them, especially if you own them, no one can use them against you. So this is why it's something that I've always been. Yeah, I've always been really big on, particularly with my like work with CEOs, is having them own the skeletons in their closet. Because if you own them publicly, they can't come back to bite you in the ass.
Exactly. And I think that's one thing we're trying to do here is show guys there's a community that supports them, that embraces them. And, you know, you can wear whatever the hell you want to. We don't care. We just want you to be happy, share it, love it. And I think we're seeing more and more men. I know here in the States, straight guys are getting into underwear and especially thongs lately, which still blows me away.
That does blow my mind a little bit too. I'd love to know more about that.
Because here it is very much across the spectrum, and straight guys here, and they're skipping the swim brief and going straight to the swim thong. And
interesting.
It.
Okay.
And it's because it just amazes me. We have so many straight guys who reach out to me, who have come on the show before. So it's not just gay guys anymore here. It's reaching out everywhere. Gay, bi, and straight are just loving the thong, can't get enough, want to wear them everywhere. We have more and more wearing them to Las Vegas, to pools. We have more wearing them to beaches. Because all of them usually get started on a nude beach somewhere to get comfortable because no one really cares, and then branch out.
So funny enough, this is actually, if I really think back, the first time I ever saw a man in a thong would have been at a, so just to round this out a little bit, I'm from a very liberal family, and every summer we used to go to a clothing optional beach camp kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so every summer we'd spend 4 weeks, you know, we would go tenting, and, you know, there's an entire community around people who didn't necessarily want to wear clothes, but it was completely non-sexual, which I thought was... You know, again, I was a child when I saw all of this, but, you know, my childhood, I grew up, you know, seeing my mom and her friends with their boobs out and that sort of thing is completely normal to me. And I remember being on the beach one day, and I couldn't have been more than 9 or 10 years old, and there was a guy wearing a thong, but I didn't even know what this garment was. And for some reason, I just started, that is seared in my mind as probably my earliest thong memory, way before the Manpower Chippendales stuff. It's just seeing somebody there. And funnily enough, actually, this would have been 30 years ago. So in this Christmas just gone by, I went back to that same beach that I used to go to when I was little and wore a swim thong myself. And there were two reasons why I did that. First was because I want the thong tan line. I've been working on it for about 6 weeks now. We're at the height of summer here in New Zealand. Perhaps more importantly, I wanted the public to be able to look at it and not think it was something weird or shameful. And maybe somebody who had kind of an interest in that would have seen me at whatever age and thought, oh, well, that's someone's doing it. Someone's owning their body and they're owning that garment. And that's quite cool. And maybe it'll give someone confidence one day to, you know, to wear their own thong at a beach, or just to maybe just buy their own thong for the first time and wear it under their jeans or whatever.
That's awesome. Good for you. That is such a full circle moment coming back to where you saw your first thong. That's amazing. So that brings us to today. So you started in OnlyFans.
It did, yeah.
Just recently, and it's taking off, and you're wearing some amazing stuff in it. I will say I've seen some of your singlets and thongs and all your fun stuff. So what made you start the OnlyFans?
Well, as I said earlier, my day job is as a corporate advisor, and so giving advice is my, you know, it's my main talent, I suppose. And like I said, I was an advice columnist for a newspaper for many, many years. So that was the beginning. I was just like, what can I do with this skill that I've got in a new or different way? And then I started to think about I had a very small online presence. Like, you know, I had a private Instagram account, but I often shared my love for speedos, jocks, thongs, things that's on, you know, just amongst my friends. And really somehow came to a place where it's like, how can I combine both of these into one brand? And then I got to start, you know, I got to thinking about how I grew up in a very athletic family, you know, around coaches and that kind of mentality of pushing people really hard to be their best, that, you know, that's the kind of family that I grew up in. And I was like, let's create one thing and see if it works. And then I just, to be honest, I think I just went online and I wanted to see if the handle was available. And I decided Yes Coach as a handle was pretty good, pretty catchy. And lo and behold, it was available everywhere. It sounds like
you'd have been snagged a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. Although it was snagged on both Instagram and Twitter, but not used. So I've had to add 85, my birth year, to the end of my handle there. But yeah, so I got, you know, onlyfans.com/yescoach, and that was really the beginning of it. So once I had that handle, I'm like, okay, how am I going to build a product out of this? And the other, like I said to you earlier, a concern for me is OnlyFans the right format for this? Because there are so many different ways for creators and creative people to make a good percentage of money. You know, on OnlyFans, you get 80% of what you charge. And, you know, there's Patreon and Substack, and there are a whole bunch of different platforms now. And I really considered all of them, but fundamentally decided on OnlyFans because I wanted to specifically speak to a gay male audience with the kind of life coaching that I did want to, you know, that I wanted to do. My whole ethos, like I've talked about, is really around authenticity and living your life the way that you want to. And I guess I also wanted to combine the fact that I loved sharing photos and videos of myself on my private Instagram account, and I was doing it already. I might as well try and you know, as I said, ball it all up into one and see if it works.
Nice. And then how has it been going since you launched? I know it's been just a few weeks or
been just a few weeks now. It's been really fascinating. I have taken on a couple of one-on-one. So one-on-one connections is really the thing that I wanted to be able to provide people. And so the reason for that is I just think if you look at our world right now and how it is going to continue to be for the decades to come, particularly with AI and how AI is going to completely change our lives.
Yes.
I really think humans right now and will continue to be starved of human connection. We are becoming more and more disparate from each other and more screen-based, and we're losing our personalities, I think, and our connections. And so I really wanted to figure out a way to harness the technology that we've been given, but for personal connections. So my OnlyFans really isn't about getting a whole lot of subscribers and just making a whole bunch of money. That's not my concern. What I really want, the OnlyFans is sort of just the gateway so I can do one-on-one personal coaching with gay men to help them with their life problems. And again, I'm a very decisive person, and something that I've definitely realized in both my daily job, but also just with my friends who are mostly gay men, is that we often really struggle making decisions. And sometimes, you know, while you might go to a counselor or a therapist and they'll ask you a roundabout way of how you're feeling and make you come to your own conclusions, there's a lot of power in just being told exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. And so that's really where Yes Coach has, you know, that's how it's been formulated, is I talk to guys one-on-one, or either I make them little, you know, like little 1 to 2 minute videos back and forth, or we do, you know, Zoom calls or team calls, and they lay out their problems and the things that are going on. And I sit back and I assess them and I tell them exactly what to do in that kind of coach dom top kind of way. So I'm definitely fetishizing it 100%, but it's not porn. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with porn, but that's not what I'm offering. There is definitely nudity there, but that's not the focus. That's more auxiliary to the entire experience of, like I said, a fetishized high school coach. So, you know, I think a lot of guys, when they were growing up and coming into their sexuality as teenagers, you know, their PE teachers or their coaches would have been some of the first men that they desired, and I sort of riffed off that, I guess.
That's an interesting way to do it, though. That is, because you're a life coach, and therefore you mix in the athletic coach with the gear and everything, which makes it even more fun.
Yeah, look, so, it is very niche. I understand that, but I also think that if you're going to be successful on OnlyFans, or basically on the internet in general, actually, this is outside of OnlyFans, you have to be hyper niche and find your specific target market. Being a generalist, you know, you could have done it 10 years ago when Instagram was, you know, sort of just popping off, but today social media is just, there's so much noise and you can't break through it. And like, I was looking at OnlyFans, I'm like, how, I can't compete with, there are so many beautiful men with bigger dicks and fatter asses on this platform than me, right? Like, I'm not going to try and compete with them. I want to offer something super niche and completely different and eventually find my audience. So that's what I'm in the beginning of doing at the moment.
I think that's a good way to do it because, you know, OnlyFans has so much stuff on it and you could do so many things on it. That everyone initially thinks, oh, it's about, you know, porn and, you know, everything along those lines. But you can do stuff like this, more tamer stuff. And I think you're 100% right about getting super niche into what you want to do. Because look at this podcast. Because when we started it,
exactly,
it was for fun. And now it's morphed into this really big thing known all over the world now, because I have like you guys on and people who listen in New Zealand, Australia, France, everywhere. And now they come to it because we're talking what you want to hear. Mm-hmm. And like you said, there are people who just want to be told what to do, who don't want to make the decision, who don't want to. And that's a good way to do it.
Exactly. And it's been really fascinating on the journey that I've been on. And I've got a couple of clients that I'm working one-on-one with already. I call them my rookies, which they certainly enjoy. And they come to me with both little and big problems. You know, there's one guy I see for an hour a week, and we basically just have a 1 hour counseling session, but normally it's about the stresses of his week and, mm-hmm. you know, the interpersonal problems that are happening in his office, or the bullying that's happening, you know, in his workplace. And he'll ask me these questions. I'm like, this is exactly what you need to do. I will lay it out very clear. And then he goes into work the next day and just does it. So what I think I've actually provided him with is, first of all, a good night's sleep, because he would have otherwise spent, you know what it's like when you're...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. When for some reason, things at work really bother us way more than mm-hmm. I think personal things. You know, a slight or an insult in the professional context can really just keep you up, and you can feel very hurt by it. And the kind of thing that I am able to do with this guy is give him permission to stop thinking about it, to stop thinking about, you know, doing that anxiety spiral, and just go in the next day and do it because I told him so.
Good deal. Yeah. See, that's because I remember before you launched, you were telling me about it, and I'm like, what? And then now that you have it, it's like, okay, that makes perfect sense now. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Again, like, I do understand that it is a difficult sell. And one thing that is really important for me personally is, as I said, I was doing all of this, you know, kind of sharing photos and videos of myself with my immediate, you know, my friendship group for years. I've been, you know, really into, you know, just showing myself off. I love doing that. And I want to continue doing that on my terms as well, which is again why I wanted to do OnlyFans the way that I want to do it, because I don't want to be pushed by an audience into doing something that I'm not comfortable with. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I've had a lot of requests already for, you know, collabs and people wanting to do the full blown, you know, porn stuff, which, don't get me wrong, it's not something I think anyone should be ashamed of. It's just, I think there's enough of that out there. And if that's what you're looking for, I've got some beautiful friends with some great names of some, you know, some awesome stuff out there, but that's not what I'm going to contribute to this online world, because I just think there's too much of it and I can't compete. It's too hard.
Well, I think you got a good niche there. Question for you before we go further. Do you mind me asking about what your partner thinks of it?
Yeah, so this is actually I've been married for 10 years this year. I've been together for 13. And my husband is in the military, so a very conservative sort of industry and world to come from. And it was really chatting with Oz Thongbro, who I know you've had on your podcast mm-hmm. before. We were Instagram friends for maybe 6 months. I was in Australia late last year, and we had lunch together and we just chatted. And then my husband came to drinks with Oz Thongbro and his partner, and we had a very serious conversation about the business of OnlyFans and about controlling about the branding side of it, and about controlling your image and owning your body. And I had actually just finished a really great book, funny enough, called My Body by the model Emily Ratajkowski.
Okay. And yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah. We're not talking the same audience here, but this is a woman. She was famously one of the naked girls in that Blurred Lines video clip by Robin Thicke and Pharrell.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yep.
So she was highly sexualized, and over the course of her career has actually been buying her image back from a lot of the places that it has been redistributed, because she wanted to own it. Anyway, her book, My Body, really is around the power of owning your own physical body and whatever that looks like, and being proud of what you've got. So I sort of took I sat down, we're in this conversation with Othong Bro, his partner, and my husband, and having conversations around where the future of social media is going and where the future of side hustles are going. Mm-hmm. And the kind of money that you could make, but also the kind of impact that you could have in owning your own body and your own presence. And it was through those conversations that my husband got on board. Now, look, I don't need his permission to do anything, but if he wasn't on board with OnlyFans, I wouldn't have done it out of respect for him and his career and, you know, that sort of thing. But it was really that conversation with someone that was already on the platform, and his partner, who was very supportive of it, that got my own husband to be really supportive of it.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I was having a discussion with someone this week who's a content creator too. He doesn't do OnlyFans like some people do, the full-on, like you were talking. But I was asking him, and he's like, you have to have a very secure partner to do something like this, so they know that it's like okay. And he was mentioning how they set up boundaries and whatnot, like, you know, we spend time together here, so it's not like taking over someone's life. So I'm like, that's a good partner to have. That is, yeah, someone you can trust, someone you know knows you, knows what you're doing, and you're open with. Because I was joking with him, and I was like, you know, and it was like, I'm sure you get comments in the DMs that are crazy. And I go, you know, if I had a partner, especially with some of the stuff I get from the podcast, I'd be like, come here, look at this comment. Oh my God. Cause I share everything with the partner, and it drives people crazy when I say, I'll just give them my phone and say, here, do this on it. And they're like, don't give your husband the phone. I'm like, if he hadn't seen the other pictures, he sees it in person. So if I took any pictures of myself, who cares? And exactly. Then also, I don't care what he reads, DMs or whatever. So
yeah. Well, it's funny. I think I heard this in one of your previous podcasts about the concept of couples having an online persona that they don't share with each other. And so that's what me and my husband had. So he has not seen my Yes Coach OnlyFans page. He has no desire to see it. He has relinquished any kind of control or jealousy or anything that he might always have. He's just like, you know what, Coach, this is your thing. And so we talk about it, but he doesn't actually see any of this, and he's so supportive of it. But it's my thing for me. It's part of my personality. It's not what he would do. This is not the kind of thing that interests, like I said, he's in the military. He does not need another person to tell him what to do. he's got enough of that. Yeah, but it's something that completely mind, and I love that, because I don't personally think that partners need to share everything, and it's actually bringing us a lot closer together, because I get to talk about these experiences that I'm having online that are really cool and important to me, but he's not sitting there looking at my comments or, you know, judging what I put on Twitter versus what I put on Instagram versus what I put on OnlyFans. You know, he doesn't do any of that. He gets it all, like, from the horse's mouth. He gets it all from me, and I'm completely honest and transparent about it. But then and once I give him that, he has no desire to actually look it up and see what I'm really doing.
See, that's a good relationship to me, because I firmly believe, because I have many friends who are, you know, do everything together. And I'm just the opposite. I'm like, no, you've got to go. You've got to do your
definitely,
own thing.
We're definitely not those people. You know?
I was like, I will punch you in your face if I have to spend 24 hours with you every day of the week.
Uh-huh. And you know those friends that you've got that no matter what time of day it is, whether it's a brunch or drinks or, you know, whatever, they always bring their partner with them, who you haven't invited. Those people drive me insane. It's like, independent lives. People actually ask me sometimes, what is the success? Sorry, what is the reason you've been, you know, so successful in your marriage? I'm like, honestly, independent lives. We have two. We do not complete each other. We are two whole, separate people, and we come together and we have this beautiful relationship. But then when we're apart, which is a lot because he's in the military, he travels a lot, then I don't feel like I'm missing anything. So that's really the key for it to me, is having those separate lives.
100% agree. 100% agree. Because my last ex instilled in me that he went out Thursday night with his friends and I was not invited. And it was under no certain terms. It wasn't one of those where it's like, oh, come out Thursday. He's like, nope, this is my time. Yeah. You don't even come out to this bar. I don't want to see you. And I was I think it's that's a good thing.
It's incredibly important, particularly for the longevity of a relationship, I think, because one of the things that you need to do when you're hanging out with your friends is often vent about your relationship. Oh, and you can't do that when that person is there, can you?
No.
And so something else that, you know, I definitely have noticed is and I'm not normally the one doing the venting, but I receive a lot of venting from my friends. And often, like I said, end up giving out a lot of advice. But one of the things that I definitely recognize is what's going on in your head and the story that you've told yourself isn't necessarily the true story.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you need to throw that out to people that can be completely objective and they can call bullshit on you. And that's really, really important. And if your partner is with you for all social occasions, you're not going to have that. You're not going to have those checks and balances. And you're not going to be told, actually, you know what, this is all in your head, which oftentimes something is just all in our head.
Oh, yes.
But we can't see that because we're in our heads as well.
Exactly. Don't get me started on relationships.
Different podcast.
Different podcast, because I could go for hours on that topic.
Yeah, me too.
Because, you know, everyone has... Well, that's one thing recently that has gotten on my nerves lately with the gay community is, what is a relationship? Because you have, like, the ones who are like, oh, open relationships are horrible. No. And then you have the ones, I only want to do open. And I'm like, do what you want to do. Don't worry about what someone else is doing. Just because it's not for you doesn't mean it's not for them. Because I have friends who have a relationship I would never have, but they've been together for 30 years. So I'm like, they must be doing something right. So
this is really one of the things, as I mentioned, when I was a journalist writing a sex and relationships column for all of those years, is one of the things that I wanted to impart on the heterosexual community is that, to me, I think one of the best things about being queer is that you can make up your own relationship rules and you don't have to follow what society has told you, you know, a way that you should formulate your life. You don't have to do the 2.5 kids, house in the suburbs, you know, that kind of thing. If you want to do that, fine. Totally your prerogative. But we have this unbelievable opportunity to write our own rules. And something that I really like doing is telling straight people about the ways in which we rewrite our own relationship rules and have them saying, you know what? I am completely bogged down by these heteronormative, you know, expectations. And I don't want to be in a monogamous relationship, or I don't want to be in this kind of marriage, and I want to think differently. So, like I said, giving people permission, I think, is often all that they need. They've got, you know, society and the expectations that are placed upon us, particularly in the Western world with Christianity and what Christianity has done to the Western psyche, can be suffocating, and I really don't think anyone should suffocate in their own life, unless they're, you know, doing it with consent, of course.
I was about to say, if you want to do it with consent and have someone dominate you, go for it.
100%. But you definitely, I don't think anyone should think like a ton of bricks are falling down on them and they have to be a certain way, whether they're gay, straight, whatever, which is why I'm so pleased to hear about all of your straight male followers that are coming to you. It's just this just shows that once you give up on the expectations and the shame and just let yourself be whoever you want to be, then you can actually just have real fun. And I think the other thing that's really important is you realize that once you start having that fun, no one cares. No one's looking at you. Everyone is too self-involved in their own lives to give a damn.
Well, our biggest one here is guys want to wear it in more mainstream places, especially the straight guys. Like, you know, wear it to a water park, wear it to wherever you want to go. And still, since we're so, you know, we have our Victorian ways here with sex, and you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't sexualize a man. And I always say, well, the only difference between sexualizing a man and him is him enjoying it. Because most men don't care if they're sexualized.
Exactly.
They kind of enjoy it. So I was like, no one really cares. But so, yeah, but the straight guys are just, it's more the acceptance now of the general population that's stopping a lot of them.
Yeah, I think one thing that I have, do you ever rehearse the perfect comeback for a situation for the moment when it, yeah, okay. So I have in my head rehearsed if I ever, particularly I've been thinking about a mother. If a mother comes up to me where I'm wearing a thong on a beach and she says something about, this is not appropriate for children, or, you know, what do you think you're doing? I have exactly what I want to say rehearsed. I'm not going to say if it's too long, but to paraphrase it, what I really want that person to know is that all issues stem from their own insecurity. And if they've got a problem with me and my body being on a public beach, then they're at the wrong beach and they need to go somewhere else. Because I wouldn't wear a thong on every beach. I will choose it specifically based on the location and the kind of people that are there and that sort of thing. So if you're on the beaches that I'm on, you're accepting that you're going to see, I mean, women and thongs on beaches has become basically so commonplace. It is, I think you will almost see more thong bikini bottoms on women than regular bikini bottoms now.
Yes.
And so I think to myself, well, is it because I'm a man? And I'm sexualizing myself, because I can see a lot of women's asses here and no one's saying anything. And yeah. So if one day I ever get into a situation, which may happen, where someone comes up to me and tells me that my thong on a beach is inappropriate, then I've got a whole rehearsed dialogue that I want to have with this person, because I really want to catch them out on the sexism of it all.
Yes, very much so. Very much so. Well, I guess that wraps up our conversation. It has been a joy having you on.
Thank you so much for having me.
We will have him back for the Thong Show coming up soon. We'll get that out to you guys. And before we go, tell everyone where they can find you at.
So you can find me on both Instagram and Twitter as YesCoach8Size, as in 1985, year I was born. And on OnlyFans, just YesCoach. So OnlyFans.com/YesCoach. That's me.
Go follow him. You will enjoy his content because, you know, I love a singlet. So anytime there's singlets involved, I'm very happy. So yes.
Good. Well, I love wearing them for you and I love wearing them for myself. So if anyone else can get enjoyment out of doing this, it's fantastic.
It's like wearing a hug. I tell people that's what it feels like.
You're
wearing a hug.
I love the way the singlets feel over the shoulders and the way they come down. It's just a really nice feeling. Yeah, if anyone hasn't tried a wrestling singlet on, please go buy one. Buy one from End to End. They're great.
Yes.
I have absolutely no affiliation with this brand, but seriously, stop there and see what you do.
Amazing. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. We will have Coach back soon. And have a great week, everyone. Bye,
great.
Everybody.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
Thanks for listening to our show. If you like what you hear, consider supporting us at Patreon at patreon.com/UNBblog. Follow us on social media. You can follow the blog at UNBblog on Twitter and Instagram. Read the blog at unbblog.com. Also, follow me if you like art or anything else fun in underwear at UNBTim on Instagram and also Twitter. Thanks for listening, and we'll have more podcasts at you very soon. Bye.